Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. And if you need a Bible, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Before, as we get into Acts 13, I just wanted to do a little update and give you a little more information about our anniversary weekend. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary, which is a huge milestone for us. Who had ever thought that we'd reach this time? And so what we're doing is something a little different. We have a really incredible guest speaker coming, Pastor Danny Hahn from New Jersey. He's a senior pastor, actually of three churches in New Jersey. It's called Joy Christian Fellowship, and they planted a church inside Manhattan. So he preaches in these two facilities, and then he drives to Manhattan, and then he goes back. And so Sunday is a pretty crazy day for him, but he's a real man of God. I've known Pastor Danny for years. What we're going to do is the Friday of that weekend, we're having a service here all together. On Saturday, we're going to do something a little different. Saturday in the morning service, we're having a session just for married couples. And so this will include a lunch time, and he's going to speak to us as married couples. And so that's the morning session. Afternoon session is for all the singles. And so most of you guys get to come to that one. And if you're dating or if you're engaged, you're in the afternoon session, okay? You have to be a legit official to come to the morning one because we're doing something special. So, and we're doing something special in the afternoon as well. And that'll be followed up with a really nice dinner that we'll get to spend together during that time. And then we have our service. And then on Sunday, we'll have our two services as usual, but we're having our anniversary banquet. And it's actually the first time we've ever done this, so we're quite excited. Through some help of people at church, we reserve the Aberdeen Marina Club. And so it starts at 5 o'clock, and we're having the buffet. Let me explain the buffet. I just wanted to show you guys, but the menu is on the screen right now. Soup, veal, okay, forget appetizer, salad. Let's move to the main. Sirloin beef, gammon ham, grilled salmon, and I don't know what that is, but it sounds yummy. Baked chicken, Marengo, all those desserts. Yeah, it's all going to happen. We got an incredible, incredible deal at the Marina Club. And actually, if you have a car, parking is actually included as well. And so it's $500 per adult and $250 per child. And so please sign up. Go in the back. We only have space for 300. That's it. And so you need to buy tickets. You can buy tickets in your house church as well for this. But this is not something, don't buy like six tickets and invite your friends from other places. Even though that's, I'd be nice, but do that at another event. This is for the family. And so we have 300 spaces. That's including the kids during this time. That's why we made it nice and early. So please bring your kids out, and it's going to be great. There's a ticket. Hold on to the ticket. We forgot to mention this in the morning because I know how people are. Hold on to your ticket because it has a number, and we're going to have just a fun lucky draw during that time, which is based on your number. And so it'll be a kind of a good thing. And the evening is just, it's food, fun, and food, and some more fun, and you know, we'll have a photo booth. It's almost like going to a wedding banquet, in an essence, because that's where we're getting all the ideas from everyone's wedding banquets. But it's going to be a great time. People are going to share testimonies. We're going to have a short time of worship. I'm going to talk for like 5 minutes, I promise. I'm not going to preach a long message. I'm just going to talk just quickly. We're going to have a huge slideshow of 10 years of SP. And so you'll see Nate when he looked like a boy, right? And now he's a man. I mean, it's just crazy pictures. I've perused through some of them. It's great pictures from the past and current as well. And so all these things will be incorporated. It's just going to be just a wonderful time. So please do buy your tickets before they leave and celebrate with us together as a church. And again, this is not our accomplishment. This is really God's faithfulness. By the mercy of God, we've come to this place. And so we're going to celebrate that time together. And so please keep that in mind. Amen? Amen? Also, House Church starts this week. And please go online. And if you're part of a house church, you already know this. If you're not part of a house church, I encourage you to go online and look up all the different house churches that are up there. And please sign up. I need to say this, that the board keeps reminding me to tell this to the church. We are starting a membership process this year. Before we get to the summer, it'll all be panned out. And one of the requirements of membership for Solomon's Porch is to be an active participant in house church. This doesn't mean that you're on the email list, okay? Because I know a lot of you guys are on the email list, but you never show up. So it doesn't count. Just because you get an email from a house church doesn't mean you're a house church member. And so in that same way, we're talking about active participants. On the prayer, on the membership covenant, there are two lines under there that are meant to be signed by your house church leader. And they're basically the ones saying, yeah, this person is an active member. No, this person is not an active member. And as a result, you may be denied of membership that year, and you'll have to wait till next year. That's basically how it goes. Because we believe that this is a vital part of our church. And so you need to be involved in this ministry. Okay? Hey guys, I'll keep saying that over and over again so people are not shocked or anything. Coming to house church once the whole season, that's not active membership. Okay? Amen? All right, so keep that in mind, and so please. And this is not some kind of punishment, or it's nothing like that. We just want to, or it's not an incentive either. I mean, it's something you should be doing anyway. And so please be a part of the fellowship in the house church. And this is where really the most significant part of the ministry really happens there. All right, Acts chapter 13. Hopefully everyone's got a Bible here by now. Acts 13, we're going to read from verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. And it says, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time, God. We thank you for the grace, Lord, that we experience in our life, the grace that we feel on our church. We ask you now, God, to extend that grace to the hearing of our word, to this word, God, today. Lord, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today, and I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I've been sharing. This is part 4 on the series on fasting, and this will be the last one in this series. And I've been sharing over and over again this simple phrase that prayer and fasting changes the world. It has changed the world. It will continue to change the world. And so I just want to note a couple places in here where it's happened. Time and time again, the people of God were called into action by prayer and fasting. Identities were changed. Even new destinies were charted during this time. I can honestly stand before you and say, prayer and fasting, I owe my ministry to prayer and fasting. It's just an embodiment that flows out of me. You know, this is not my attempt to be humble or anything like that, but I know I'm just a normal, average person. But but because of the things I've experienced in God, when I open up the Bible and I teach, something happens and just people just grow. It's just a thing that's been with me for 20 years of ministry in the midst of my normalness, my inadequacy, and I owe whatever part I played in this, I owe that to seasons of prayer and fasting, and I can just honestly, humbly say that I owe my ministry to prayer and fasting, very simply put. In fact, when we read the book of Acts, we can very simply say that actually even in the church was birthed out of prayer and fasting. Let me show you something here. In Acts 13, verse 1 and 3, we see that the New Testament church practiced fasting not only individually, but also corporately. In Acts 13, we have these five guys that are written out here, and they're simply called prophets and teachers. And they were ministering to the Lord by praying and fasting. That's all they were. They were prophets and teachers. Out of this ministry to the Lord, they received clear direction for where they should go and power to accomplish that direction. This is something that God does so well. He gives us direction. He gives us a leading and understanding. But he always equips us and gives us the power to accomplish the very thing that he's leading us to. He doesn't give us a task and say, okay, see you later. Have fun. He sets a task before us. He informs us of this task. And then he empowers us that we may complete this task. This is God's goodness in the life of the body of Christ. In this meeting, the Holy Spirit points out Barnabas and Paul for this special task that he has a church in, which is to minister to the Gentiles and go out of Jerusalem and meet in these places. And the five men prayed and fast again for the power to accomplish this task. Then they laid hands on them. Then they were sent and did their ministry. And so we get into chapter 14. And then what happens is, before they were sent, remember, they were merely known as prophets and teachers. After they were sent forth from their task, after a season of prayer and fasting, now they're called apostles. This is Acts 14:4 and verse 14. We can say the apostolic ministry of Paul and Barnabas was birthed out of collective prayer and fasting in Antioch. It's this season it's almost, you can think of this concentrated season that he brings the church in because he wants to birth something supernatural. He calls them, he brings them together, he calls them, he gives them a step of obedience to take, and they took that step, and then he empowers them, sends them out, and wonderful things happen. In Acts 14, let's show you something else. Go to Acts 14. We can read from verse 21. Acts 14, 21. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And so in this place, in 14:22, each group of believers in every city were simply known as disciples. There were disciples, there were a group of people. But after prayer and fasting, and after the appointment of elders, they became known as churches. The establishment of the local church in each city was accomplished through collective prayer and fasting. There were just a bunch of disciples. And then, as they were ministering to the Lord in prayer and fasting, he calls out elders. Elders become established in churches, and now we basically have New Testament system of churches in every single city, and the gospel goes out from each of these cities. Amazing! And it happened through a collective season of prayer and fasting. What I'm trying to say to you, and what we're trying to say together as a church, is that, and really this question, could it be, that there is something that God is going to call us to. There's something waiting there for us. There's something there that we are to step into in 2013. We may not know what it is. These guys didn't know. They were just called to prayer and fasting. They're called into a city, a group of people called together. And as they sought the Lord, as they prayed, as they fasted, not only did God come in the midst of them and answer their prayers, but their whole identities were changed. Their destinies were changed. And they became apostles. They became churches. They became elders, and the very purposes of God were established that went far beyond what they could have done individually themselves. And my suggestion or my plea to us as a church is saying, could there be something waiting for us corporately as a church, but us and you individually? Could there be something that God has in store for you in 2013 that he's preparing you to do by setting aside a concentrated season of prayer and fasting? This is why we do this every year. We're just saying, God, we believe there's something there. That there's something that you want to establish and accomplish in 2013. But we know that before we step into the place, you always call people to fasting. You always call people to collective prayer. And so, Lord, we're going to come together as a body. We're going to fast, seek your face, because we're going to prepare ourselves for what is about to come. And we're going to receive when that comes. Amen? And so, you know, I say, whatever, think about whatever is in mind for you, I don't know. I think it's worth giving up a few meals. Amen? I think it's worth waking up a little bit earlier and coming out to prayer. Whatever it may be, how grandiose, maybe even how small it may be, I don't think it matters, but I think it's worth enough for to sacrifice something, to give up little something. It's nice, but compared to what God may have in store, and for me to prepare myself to receive it, yeah, I'll give up a few meals for that. I'll give up a few activities. I'll take some time off the internet. You know, I'll lay off Facebook or whatever kind of fast that you do. I think it's worth it for us to enter in. And so this is why we're teaching, we're sharing, and all these things. And listen, very clear, we're not fasting to earn God's love. God already loves us. We're not fasting to twist God's arm. God's arm's too big for me to try to twist anyway. It doesn't work that way. I'm fasting because God loves me. I love God. And to me, it's not twisting his arm. To me, it's a holy response. I'm not trying to gain God's approval or the pastor's approval or anyone else. I'm doing because I'm responding to God. I'm responding to the overtures of my heart that the Spirit of God is leading me in. That's what I'm responding. It's a holy response to the Lord. Not to twist his arm or to force God to do anything. God wants this to be done. God wants something to happen in our lives. And all I'm doing is I'm just preparing the way. I'm just preparing myself, trying to prepare the church that we can come into the fullness of everything that God has in store for us. What a shame it would be that we would end this year and we just weren't ready to receive what we had. You know what I mean? And so, and this is preparation time, people. That's why we do it in the beginning of the year. We could do it different times, but we do it in the beginning of the year. We're fasting because he loves us. It's a holy sacrifice. You know, and at the same time, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy. I had a tough week this week, I'll be perfectly honest. And I caught a cold this week. I mean, thankfully, it only lasted a few days, but man, I was dying, you know, just no food and just trying to just survive on water and just going forward and feel very weak. But I tell you, something happens. Yeah, I feel so weak. A few times I got very dizzy as I stood up and whatnot. But you know, in those times, I just pray to God and say, God, I'm just not feeling well. Lord, I'm tired. But Lord, I'm just desperate for you. So desperate for you. This week, I spent some time with another pastor here, another pastor of a local church or an international church, and he's praying about, and God put in his heart to lead his church in a fast, so he's praying about leading his church during Lent, coming up before Easter, and so he just wanted to pick my brain and things, and I told him, this is what I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things for me that happens in my life when I'm fasting is that, and this is what I told him, I said, you know, I have an intellectual concept, an idea of depending on God. I know it. I know it intellectually. I know spiritually what it means to depend on God. I mean, I understand all these things. But a lot of times it takes me in the season of human weakness. I mean, real weakness. And I feel these things, and then I just turn to God and say, God, I am so weak. I feel so tired. But God, I just want you. I need you. Verses like Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, when I'm strong and I say that, it's like a good word. But when I'm weak and tired and run down and no energy, and that verse rises up, I can do all things. And then I feel the energy of God pouring into my life. And I understand even more in depth what it means to depend on God. It's a huge thing for me that God draws in my life in these seasons. And yeah, I mean, I wish it was every day. But I'm frail. I'm human. You know, we know, I mean, all of us, we know intellectually, we know that every breath comes from God. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from God. We understand that, but until you've been in a place where you can barely breathe, and then you know, and you take that breath, where you have absolutely no energy, we know that he's our strength, But until you come to that place of deep weakness, man, it's just a concept. And God wants us to take us in a little deeper in revelation and wisdom. And it's something that moves in us. And I say this many times this way. I said, Lord, I'm hungry. You know, I'm hungry. I have to confess to you. I actually had to repent a lot this week, because you know, I try to walk around a lot during this time, and I walk by a few restaurants, you know, right in the windows, and then as I walk by, I would get mad at people eating. I'd be like, why are those guys eating inside there? You know, I'd walk around. I'd be like, why are these guys eating? They don't deserve to eat. And then I had to repent as I continue to walk, and I said, why am I getting so upset? And you get to this place, and I say, Lord, I'm hungry, but it's, Lord, I'm more hungry for you. I am hungry for you. God, I'm tired, but I'm energized by you. Lord, I'm weak, but I'm strong in you. It's powerful. It's powerful. God wants to bring that power into your life, that keen awareness of our humanity and the awareness of his glory. The awareness of our weakness. And see, a lot of times we have this keen awareness of our weakness when we sin. That's not the revelation that I want to have. You know what I mean? I don't want to have that revelation out of my failure. I want to have it like during these times of fasting. I want to have it in these good times, right? When I'm doing right by God, not when I'm doing wrong by him. You know, we learn from our failures. I don't want to learn from my failures. I don't. I mean, I say I want to learn from my failures. I don't want to fail. I guess it's a better way of saying it. But there's something that God wants to do in our lives. You know, and it doesn't matter what you're fasting. One meal, TV, the internet, meat or sweets. Again, what matters is that you're doing it unto the Lord, and it's something that's precious to you. Amen. It's something that's precious to you. Next week, I'm going to talk about how to break a fast, and so we'll get into that in a bit. But today, I want to talk about Daniel's fast. So if you go to Daniel chapter 10, a lot of people ask me, P. Sam, why are we doing 21 days? And a lot of it, there's actually really no specific reason, except it's written in the Bible that Daniel did a 21-day fast and kind of drawn to the number. It's the number of days is really arbitrary. Obviously, in the Bible, there's 40-day fasts, and we see Jesus and many people going on things like that. But we're just doing 21. We're just obeying the Lord. There have been some years where God told us to fast for 30 days, do a Christian Ramadan fast. And this year, God told us to 21. One year, God told us to tithe the year in fasting. And so if you remember that year, we did 37 days of the fast. And even for me, towards the end, I was kind of complaining to God. I said, God, 37, why can't we just do 40? You know, 40 is significant. You know, that's like a number. That's like some kind of accomplishment. 30, so we should just do 40. I remember the Lord said, just obey, son. Just obey. Don't try to do more than what I ask, and don't try to do any less than what I ask. Just obey. I said, okay, yes, sir. 37 days, right? And we did it. And so this year is 21 days, and this is where it comes from. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. It's an incredible verse of scripture. And so let's read this. Daniel 10 from verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and he had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. And so I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Verse 10, then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken the word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of this vision, anguish has come upon me and I retain no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall show you now. So I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of the truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. Amen. There's some incredible truths in this passage. And before I get into it, let me just share a little something about Daniel. Daniel is an amazing person. Daniel, when he was a youth, he was taken into captivity as Israel was taken into captive under Babylon. Daniel had such the favor of God in his life. I mean, just amazing favor that Daniel reached governmentally in office to be basically, in the U.S., would be like a vice president, because we don't have a king or anything like that. But the second in office, next to the king. And there was so much favor on Daniel's life that he served three different kings, three different kingdoms. Can you imagine that? One king takes over the other one. There was such a favor of God on Daniel that he became the top man in government in three different kingdoms, in three different regimes. Such favor of the Lord. And you can see why that the encouragement of God comes. He's a man of high esteem. Because when Daniel, he's a man of prayer, so he's praying. God shows him something that's going to happen. And Daniel knew what was going to happen. He saw it. He said, oh my goodness. And what did Daniel do? He prayed. He prayed. And he fasted. See, it's so different a lot of times to what happens to many of us. A lot of us, when we're confronted with negative circumstances, when we see a situation that's coming that's not so good and calamity or whatever it is coming our way, most of us, our first instinct is to complain. Our first instinct is to shout at God. Our first instinct is to gossip with somebody else or whatnot. But Daniel was so different. You can see why the favor of God was on Daniel, because when calamity came his way, he prayed. The first thing Daniel did is he didn't say, God, I thought I was your friend. I thought you loved me. What's up, God? You know, come on, do something. He wouldn't like that. As soon as he saw something coming his way that wasn't very good, the circumstances around were not very good, what did Daniel do? Daniel got on his knees. I think that's a huge, huge lesson for us. Instead of complaining to God, Instead of gossiping with other people, you know, instead of doing so many different things that we do, as soon as you understand that something is coming your way that's not going to be very good, as soon as you get a revelation or a vision or just clear, crystal clear understanding that there's going to be difficult times ahead, don't back down. Don't lie down. Get on your knees and pray. That's what Daniel does. He sees a negative circumstance and he prays. That's why he's a man of high esteem. That's why there's so much favor on this guy's life. As soon as it happens, he prays. It's a huge, huge word for us. Huge word. Because see, you never know what God is going to do in that circumstance. You never know if that circumstance is a setup for something even greater that God may have in store. And so you'll never get the right perspective on any circumstance until you hear from God. And so the best thing we should always do is to pray. Is to pray. Think about it, friends. Think about a time that you had in your life, or maybe you're having in your life right now, and it's difficult, and you see even more difficulty coming and whatnot. You know, we can, as humans, we can operate out of fear and then out of busyness and just try to do all these things, or we can just quiet everything and get on knees and pray. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for my own life. That's my prayer for this church, that whatever we see coming our way, good or bad, but especially the negatives, when we see things coming, we get a bad report, a medical report, or whatever the case may be, that we're not complaining and whining and gossiping and all these things, that we're praying. Let the first response of our heart to be fall down to our knees and seek God. Amen? Turn to your neighbor, right, and look at him straight in the eye. Say, hey, good looking. Seek God in those times. We see this aspect. Daniel received this vision. He sees what's going to happen to Israel. I mean, most scholars are pretty unified on this. He sees that the temple is going to be destroyed. He sees an incredible calamity coming. And so there's a conflict that happens. There's a warfare that's going on. Daniel saw spiritual warfare coming his way, so he prepared himself by fasting. That's what I talked about just a little while ago. He prepared himself for fasting. For some of you, you may not know why you're doing it. You may just be trying to obey the leadership of this church, which is a good thing. I talked about that last week. You may not understand, but I'm telling you what you're doing. You're preparing for something. There is a preparation process at work, and the impetus and the fruits of all that that's happening is going to relate to what comes future. This is the work of the preparation is in the prayer and fasting. And God's moving this way. Well, one time my mom was in Korea, and she was on furlough. You guys know my parents were missionaries in Uzbekistan. And my mom was in Korea, and she met this Korean lady. There's a lot of Korean ladies in Korea. But these particular kinds of Korean ladies, and you know what I mean. There's a lot of these very prophetic, we call them ajumas, or these women that just pray, and they just pray all the time. And you run into them once in a while, and they're so prophetic, meaning they really hear from God accurately. And so my mom was just randomly met this woman through another contact. And so she said, they met, very, very casual. She said, can I pray for you? And my mom said, sure. And she started praying, and so she started prophesying over my mom. And one thing she says, you have a son, right? You know, 50-50. That's not really that prophetic, right? I mean, could have missed it. It's not that bad. But then she said, you have a son, and he's a pastor. And then my mom's interest is piqued. Oh, okay. And he says, and then this is the word, and this is what I received out of it as well. He says, you have a son, and he's a pastor, and he prays and he fasts a lot. Mom said, yeah. And during that season, when this happening, I was actually praying and fasting a lot. I didn't know why. I'm just being honest. I don't know why. I was just led to do it. And there was no, like, circumstance that was happening in my life where I felt like I was just led by the Spirit. There was no desire in my flesh to fast. But I find myself, I'd wake up in the morning, I have my quiet time, and I knew that I had to fast that day. And then it would extend to 3 days, and then 10 days, and then 15 days. And then I'd stop, and then I'd go on my life. And then all of a sudden I have my quiet, and I say, okay, it's time to fast again. And it was just this crazy period of my life. And this woman said, yeah, he prays and fasts a lot. And then she shared the rest. I'm just totally just reading my mom's mail. And if you don't understand what that means, it just means that she was very accurately depicting what was going on, just like someone reading your mail. In other words, the gift of word of knowledge was so strong on this woman, and she was really ministering to my mom, and she just said certain things about me that a couple of things are a little personal, and so I'm not going to share with you guys. I hope that's okay, right? So I told the first service, I'll tell you guys, if that's not okay, then you need to get life. And so I just want to be fair to both services, right? So I'm not just insulting the first service. During that time, but one of the things that she did say that I can't share with you, she said that one of the reasons why he's doing this is because there's something coming up. There are certain things, challenges and things that he needs to overcome and whatnot. And so God has literally kept him on the side and preparing him in this way. Another thing that this woman said, and this is what I really kept to heart, she said that one of the reasons why he's doing this is because not a lot of people are praying for him. He's literally praying for himself during all this time. And so shortly after that, that's when I started recruiting people to pray with me and become my intercessors. And that was kind of in that season. But it was just a huge revelation for me in that time. And so in that same way, Daniel, he sees something. He's preparing himself. And all I'm saying is what we're doing at the beginning of the year, we're preparing ourselves. We're getting ourselves ready to what God may have in mind for us. So let's talk about Daniel's fast. Daniel's fast. He goes 21 days during this fast. He says here, he eats no pleasant food. The word in Hebrew is kamad, which means to desire, to covet, to long for. Something's precious, something that's costly, which goes back to what we've been teaching, that when we fast, it's about laying down something that's precious and costly to you, just like Daniel. So Daniel says, I'm not going to eat any pleasant food. I'm not going to eat any meat. I'm not going to have any wine. And he's not going to have any ointment. The word, this ointment, is actually an oil that's used during this time. It's usually used after a bath, especially for a fragrant effect. But it's not just perfume. A lot of times this is used for medicinal purposes. And so during this time, he's entering to the season. He's seeking God for a season of time. He doesn't know what's going on or whatnot, but he's seeking for the season of time, and he's not going to have anything precious. He's laying down the legitimate pleasures of his life for the extreme pleasures of drawing near to God. So he's laying down anything that's precious to him, meat, wine, and ointment, to seek God during this season. And it's just an amazing time. And then, I want to talk for the rest of the service, and then he responds. Or this is how God responds to Daniel fasts. So I have 4 points today. Like any good Baptist preacher, I have 4 points. Number one, this is the overflow or the result of fasting, the response of God to Daniel's prayer and fasting. Number one, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Prayer and fasting opens up your spiritual eyes. We see in verse 7, he says, now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, but the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone to see the vision. Now, check this out. This vision was not some quick flash, something that happened. Like if you didn't see it for that moment, it's gone and you missed it. You know what this vision was? Let me read you what this vision was. It says, I lifted my eyes, verse 5, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen. I mean, all white, just beautiful clothes. He had a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. I mean, this is a huge hunkin' monster. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of the tumult. It's the roaring. And so can you imagine? Here, a small group of people is Daniel and a couple people around, probably his attendants. And they're in this room and they're praying. It's the 21st day. They're praying together. And only Daniel sees the visitor who entered the room, this gargantuan beast of a man. Well, I shouldn't say beast because it was God, but, you know, but I mean, just this huge creature comes in, gold belt, his arm, it's like barrel, I mean, it's like iron. He steps in, and when he says something, it's a roar. And then what happens? only Daniel sees this vision. This is not just some fading thing that happens really quick. Only he's left there to have an encounter with this incredible being. And what happens to the other guys? They don't see anything. They don't hear anything. But they are afraid. They know something came into the room. Do you know that feeling? Something came into the room. And one person sees it. And everyone else runs away. They see nothing. They hear. But they feel it. Something's there. Oh, man. And they're afraid. And they say they leave this place in dread, trembling, fearful for their lives. Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Something happens to us. There becomes a sensitivity in God when we come into this place of prayer and fasting. Only Daniel's spiritual eyes were open, and the companions were scared out of their mind. I know you shouldn't watch these movies, but if you ever watch a scary movie and you watch this movie and you just get the goosebumps and all, that's what these guys felt. It was like they were in a scary movie, except they weren't watching anything. Only Daniel saw. Prayer and fasting opens up our spiritual eyes. Number two, prayer and fasting sets us in God's presence. Prayer and fasting sets us in God's presence. Verse 9, but I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. It's the presence of God. The resting, present glory of God comes upon Daniel. I shared this experience that I had in the first service. And many years ago, when I was a youth pastor, we had a just an incredible retreat, and the presence of God came. First time I ever realized this, and a lot of the phenomena that we read in Daniel, this actually, if you look throughout church history, revival history especially, this is a revival phenomena. This usually, these phenomena usually attend seasons of great revival, like the Great Awakening, Azusa Street, the Pentecost, and all the different revivals that happened through history. God's Spirit came, and there was an effect on people's lives. And so in one particular time, we were there, and Pastor Eugene was there. He was actually leading worship at that retreat. And just the presence of God came so strongly. We had kids that were in gangs that their moms, we dragged to this retreat and just transformed their life overnight as the Holy Spirit just poured himself over them. And a lot of them started falling in the spirit, now that I learned that's what the term was. Kind of the same way they dropped like dead men. Some started trembling. And just crazy stuff happened. But nothing happened to me. Nothing. I cried and stuff, but I always cry when I'm touched by God. But nothing else supernatural or whatnot. And so I began to seek the Lord in that. After this retreat, after a certain period of time, there was a church in kind of nearby us, and they were also experiencing revival or this renewal. And so I went to one of the sessions. They were having a conference, and I still remember, I think it was Thursday morning, and they had a special meeting for pastors. And I was at this meeting. And when I went and the pastor preached, gave a great message, and he asked everyone to stand to get prayed for. And I remember standing, and I was sitting in the second, because the seats went up like this, I was sitting in the second section up high, and I kind of stood, and I just kind of raised my hand to receive prayer. I wasn't really expecting much, because nothing really happened to me. And as I was there, I was receiving prayer, and all of a sudden, my right leg started shaking. And this is honest what I did. As soon as it started shaking, I just commanded it to stop. I just said, don't do that, because I want to be a respectable pastor. I don't want to be one of those pastors, they're all going, it's like going crazy all the time. So that's not me. I just want to be a nice, respectable pastor, to be liked. And many things that a lot of youth pastors go through. And that's what I was looking for, and yet it started shaking. I was like, what's going on? And I was just like, no, don't do it. I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm having all these feelings inside and whatnot. My mind's going overtime. And then, so what happens during this time, the speaker just ends up talking. He says, sometimes when we're manifesting, it's usually God speaking something to us. And so he just said, why don't you ask God what's happening with you? And I was like, okay, you can't lose. And so I remember when I started praying and my legs stopped shaking, and I just simply said, okay, Lord, what does this mean? What are you doing? What are you trying to do with me? And right then and there, I heard the Lord speak very clearly. When I became a Christian and I got called into ministry, and it was a very specific time for me. A lot of things going on, but I knew that God wanted me to pursue ministry instead of business and other things. And so during that time, my prayer during that time, I said, God, I'll go anywhere you ask me to go. That's what I prayed to the Lord. I said, God, I will go anywhere you ask me to go. You want me to go to Timbuktu? I'll go to Timbuktu. I don't know where Timbuktu is, but I'll go there. I don't care. Anywhere you want me to go, I will go. And during that time when the pastor said, why don't you ask God, I was there. And I said, God, what does this mean? And the Lord, it was just so clear. It wasn't his audible voice, but it was so clear in my heart. He reminded me of that promise. And he said, Sam, you remember when you told me that you'll go wherever I asked you to go? And I said, yeah, Lord. And the father said, this is just a sign of that promise that you made to me, son. You know, and then I start crying. I'm so sorry. You know, I feel so bad. And then this is the honest truth. I'm a sane person. I mean, I hope you think I'm a sane person. I'm not crazy in different ways. I'm crazy sometimes, but I'm normal, right? Even though sometimes that doesn't work either. But in any case, so what ends up happening is I just say, okay, God, I'm yours. And I felt this is one of the most profoundest spiritual experiences I've had in my life. And not that spiritual experiences are everything. We're going after experiences. We're going after God. But I just felt like I just put my fingers into a light socket. And, man, I just felt this power surging through my body. I violently crashed to the floor. It was a concrete floor. And just shaking, and I mean, literally, I was like a, you know, when those fishing shows where the fish is on the deck and the fish is going crazy. That's exactly what was happening to me. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what's going on. I felt like I was being electrocuted, and then I was out cold. I was out for hours, just on the floor. It was one of the most profoundest spiritual experiences of my life. And when I read Daniel, chapter 10, I relate to Daniel's experience. I'd be like, yeah, I had one of those. Yeah, I experienced some of that. And it was one of the strongest periods of my life where I felt the presence of God. It was strong. Can you imagine? Daniel's in this place. The presence of God comes into that room and he falls like a dead man. He starts shaking and trembling. And then the Lord touches him. He gets up and he's still shaking and trembling. Man, it's amazing. When our human bodies with limitation come face to face with an infinite God without limitation, and when these two forces come together, guess who's going to lose? It's the human body. And things just happen. And it happened to me in this place. Again, we're not going after experiences. You know, this is not the church of flailing like a fish. We're not going to change our name, you know, anything like that. But sometimes there's these experiences that come into our life that bring to bear and bring out the truth of the Bible in such a rich way. And that's just my experience. And I see in Daniel's experience as well, God puts him into this deep sleep of God. He sets him into his very, very presence. It's amazing. And if you've experienced God in that way, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just something beyond ourselves. So prayer and fasting, it sets us in God's presence. Number three, prayer and fasting brings God's encouragement. Turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, good looking, it brings God's encouragement. In verse 11, it says, and he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And look at verse 11. And this is really important to understand this, because In this passage, think about this. Daniel is praying for 20 days. He's just crying out to God. He's just out of obedience, and nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing. You think that because Daniel enjoyed a life with God where he saw many visions, he had many dreams, and this interchange with God and Daniel was very common. God would speak to Daniel frequently. Daniel would speak to God, and they enjoyed this intimacy, but for 20 days, nothing happens. You can imagine that you'd be feeling low. There's this great thing that you saw, and you're seeking God in, and you're even giving up precious things for that, but yet no response of God whatsoever. And so where does the word of the Lord come? The word of the Lord comes to him, and he says, Daniel, man of high esteem. Prayer brought God's encouragement. Fasting and prayer brought the encouragement of the Lord. In other words, God was telling Daniel, he said, Daniel, don't worry. You didn't do anything wrong. Isn't that what we feel a lot of times when we're praying or something? Then it's like, okay, is there sin in my life? He says, no, there's no sin in your life. Daniel, you're okay. In fact, you're a man of high esteem. You are worthy, Daniel. And I was sent to you. It brought God's encouragement. He comes, not only the presence of God, the encouragement of the Lord begins to move through his life. You are a man of high esteem. There's nothing wrong with you, Daniel. You didn't sin. Your father didn't sin. It wasn't your father's father and so forth and, you know, all these different things. No, everything's okay. It's just, well, he'll explain in the next point exactly what happens. But he brought the encouragement of the Lord. And Daniel could be set in peace. Like, okay, God, what's the message now? So it brought God's encouragement. Last one, number four, fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Read from 12 and 13. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I had been left there with the kings of Persia. And so what this angel does, he shares with him the nature of the warfare. But I love this. Notice what happens here. He says there, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and pray and humble yourself, he said, I was sent to you to bring the answer. But I was battling for 20 days, particularly this prince of Persia. Something was preventing me from bringing this answer down to you, and it took Michael to come and relieve me so I can come and give you this word on the 21st day. It wasn't like just waiting. He says, from the moment that you prayed, the first day that you set your heart to pray, God's answer was released from heaven. I'm here, and I don't fully understand all this. I don't understand how all this works. I mean, I understand in the Bible talks about our prayers are rising up to God like incense. And I've heard through the book of Revelation, the scriptures and teaching that there's bowls in heaven. And could be that the prayers of the saints that rise up like incense fill these bowls. And when the bowls get filled, it flushes out into the earth and we experience God. That could be one choice. I don't know. It sounds plausible to me, but all I know that I can be sure of is there's a warfare when we pray. We may be sitting on our knees or on our knees and praying or whatever it may be, but when we do this, there's a warfare that's taking place, and it's taking place with or without our prayers. Something is happening around us, but I know that my prayers, my warfare aids in some way. It helps. It releases something in the heavens that wants to be released here on earth. And it says, from the moment that you prayed, it was released. It took 20 days to get here. I don't understand those 20 days. That's something that's beyond my pay grade and whatnot. But the one thing I do know is that the moment I pray, it's released. The moment you don't pray, nothing happens. Let that sink in a little bit. The moment you don't pray, nothing happens. All of us athletes that are here, we know. You don't shoot, you don't score. Very simple. That's probably one of the most profound theological truths you'll ever understand in your life. Right? You don't shoot, you don't score. You don't pray, nothing happens. We can be sure of that. I don't understand the nature of this warfare. Prince of Persia, is this a territorial spirit? Is this, I don't know. I have my guesses. I have my opinions. But I know, according to the scripture, it's written here, according to the word of Daniel here, that when I pray, when Daniel prayed, it brought the answer of the Lord. It took 20 days, and it's the nature of that warfare. But it brought the answer of the Lord. Prayer and fasting brings God's answers. God heard from the beginning. Our prayers are pleasing to the Lord. But it was that continued obedience, that continued warfare, that continued intercession, that continued sacrifice, that continued giving up and fasting that brought the answer of God. Maybe, and it's I kind of liken it to like a comic strip, if you follow along with me. Here's Daniel. He sees his vision. He's shocked. He gets on his knees. 20 days he prays. And if you follow this, the strip, the first one, Daniel doesn't see, but the first day, something comes from heaven, released to Daniel. And then in the middle of this, in the middle of these other scenes, there's fighting going on, the Prince of Persia, all these things. Another angel comes in, and all these fighting, all this crazy stuff. In fact, any of you guys are good illustrators, you can make money off this story right here. So all these things are happening, and then you get to the end, and Daniel, he's still in the same place praying. He's just doing what he's doing, and then the angel of the Lord comes to him. This huge bronze, gold figurine begins to move and minister to him. It's amazing. We don't quite understand all this stuff, but this position brought all that to happen. It's amazing. Him getting on his knees and praying and fasting made all this stuff happen around him. That's the truth that we can receive from the text today. Prayer and fasting brings God's answers. It brings His answers. And I know that there's a lot of prayers that you want answered. There's a lot of things, and I'm not talking about selfish prayers, you know, like give me a Ferrari. And if you pray that, you go to this church and you pray that. Seriously, man, I'm about to curse, you know what I mean? And things, and so, but I'm not talking about selfish prayers. I mean, I'm talking about prayers of our heart, prayers that mean something, prayers for our families and friends and, you know, for our city. Hong Kong's turning into a mess, man. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm afraid to open up the paper sometimes because I know there's some other story on C.Y. Lung and these guys are bothering him about all these ridiculous things, right? I don't want to sound political or whatnot, but let's just move on to governing, you know? And it's I mean, it's like, I thought I moved to Hong Kong. Why am I feel like I'm in the United States again? It's just weird what's going on. And I think it's worth it for us to invest a little bit of our time, invest a little bit of our efforts. Like I said earlier, I think it's worth it to skip a few meals, you know? And the reality is, it's good for you, man. It's good for you. Honest, I'm just kind of joking. I woke up this morning, and I didn't recognize myself. I was like, who's this person? He's so young looking. He's so skinny. Where's the other Sam? Right? He's old and kind of chubby. And it's just good for you, man. It's so good for you in so many different ways. But I think it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. This is a challenge here, is to wake up a little early and come out to morning prayer. It's worth it. There's power there. God stirs. And I thought it was so appropriate that we're going through the book of Hebrews right now. The book of Hebrews is probably the most Christ-centric work in all of the New Testament. Seriously, the whole thing is about Jesus. Everything in that book is about Jesus. And what a way to start the year, a Christocentric teaching and understanding of what God is doing through His people in those passages. And we get to go through the book of Hebrews together. It's amazing. And so come out and pray together as a body. It's worth it. For what God has in store, He's preparing you for something. And it's going to be amazing. It's worth it for us to do that. So number one, the overflow at Daniel's fast. Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. And fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Ask the worship team to come. Do you believe that God has things in store for you this year? Are you prepared? Have you been preparing yourself for that? Have you been obedient, son and daughter of the Lord? Have you been responding to the grace of God in our life? I believe God has some amazing things in store. Prepare ourselves. It's worth it to give up a few meals, give up a few snacks, give up a few movies, some activities. It's worth it to wake up a little earlier, to come to God's house. It's worth it. If you don't believe me, ask all the people that come. They receive something from God. And in that, they're preparing themselves for something. I'm just begin to talk to Jesus right now. Just remember and think about all the promises of God over your life, your family, over this city. This is the year, my friend. Prepare yourself to receive. Prepare yourself to receive. The worship team is just going to lead us in some music. And I want to encourage you to go before God. Just talk to Jesus. Are you buckling down under the circumstances of your life? Or are you on your knees? Go ahead, John. Some of you here, we're gonna have just everyone's eyes closed. And maybe some of you that are having a Daniel-like moment in the sense that you're being confronted by negative circumstances. Something is going on in your life. Something is coming your way, or it's already there at your doorstep, or you've been going through it for a while, but it's a negative circumstance. respond to God in prayer. And as a community, we want to stand in the gap with you. Be like Daniels. Now, can I just ask, if you're in this room and there is, and you feel like there's something pressed upon your life right now, or you see things, something coming, and it's not good. It's drawing a lot of negative emotions from us and whatnot. Can I just invite you to be courageous and just lift your hand before the Lord? All the eyes closed. Can we get a little more light in the audience? Just lift your hand, close your eyes. Now, can I invite you guys that your hands up? If there's anyone else, don't be afraid. We're gonna stand in the gap. We're gonna just pile through together. With your hand raised, can I just invite you to stand and take another step of courage? Is raised, stand right there. And then let's pray. Then everyone else in the body, I want you to look around. I want you to find someone that's standing around you. I want you to pray for them. I want you to be Daniel. See, this wasn't Daniel's. It's not something that pressed on Daniel, but he entered in for the people, for his people. And so this morning or this afternoon, let's surround our friends that are standing, and let's enter in for our friends, and let's pray over them. Let's intercede on their behalf. If there's anyone that's here and you're standing but you don't feel a hand on you, just keep that hand up and someone will come and minister to you. But let's pray. Let's be Daniels around us, and let's intercede and stand in the gap and seek God's face for another. Let's pray prophetically over them. Let's minister to their depths, their needs. Let's warfare on their behalf right now. Let's pray together. Church, let's take it another level. Let's just warfare on their behalf. Let's pray like Daniel. Let's war on their behalf. Stand in that gap. Ask God to cover and release something. Let whatever situation become negative, turn into positive. Let God begin to move in these places. Father, we thank you that you reign over these circumstances, God. That these circumstances do not have the last word. You do, God. You are the only creator, the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord, we call upon you, God. Only you, Lord, are able to turn beauty from ashes. Lord, to turn mourning into dancing, God. And so would you do a transforming work of redemption in their life, Father. That they see through your eyes, God. And they would fix their heart to you. They would not walk in discouragement and fear, God, but in the encouragement of God, or the grace of God, and the faith of God. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for them, God. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. We're going to close our service with a song and an anthem of saying, He reigns over us. Let's sing together as well. The rest of us, let's stand to our feet. Let's close. Father, God, we thank you that you reign in this place, God. You reign over our lives. You reign over our circumstances, even the negative ones, God. Lord, you are the author of life, and your desire for your people are good desires, God. You're the Father of light, Lord. Everything good and perfect flows down from you, Jesus. And so we ask, God, that you would move upon us. You'd minister to us, God. Give us strength, Lord, as we continue to fast, as we continue to seek your face, to humble ourselves, God, and to prepare ourselves for what you have in mind for us this year. We thank you. We receive all that you have, God, for our life, for myself, my family, my church, God, my city, my home. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. We love you, Lord. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. I want to encourage you, if you prayed for someone, I want you to pray for them throughout this week. Keep them in mind. Tell them, hey, I'm going to pray for you this whole week. And then next week, find out what happened. I'll follow up with them. Enjoy some juice in the back. Buy your banquet tickets, right? And have a great week, and we'll see you guys in the morning here at church.